As Pesach is approaching very quickly, I'd like to discuss with you two major figures that have a lot to do with the Pesach story. Yosef, who led us down to Mitzrayim, and Moshe, who takes us out. When learning the stories of both Yosef and Moshe, you see that they have a lot in common. Both of them begin their lives amongst a Jewish family, and then in some way get removed from their family and live for a very long time in a non-Jewish environment and even in Paro's palace. They both have this tremendous amount in common. But what I'd like to do for both of them is show you that there's two very different ways of looking at their stories. And we're going to, for both of them, go through two completely different views, and then we'll add a third at the end, which is as follows. It is very possible, can anybody hear me? It is very possible that both of them, while they were living amongst their non-Jewish environment, Yosef in Mitzrayim, Moshe in Mitzrayim, and also in Midian, they completely disassociate from the Jewish people and associate themselves with their non-Jewish environment. Meaning, it's possible to claim, as we will look and see if that's true, that Yosef, when living in Mitzrayim, thought of himself as a Mitzri. And when Yosef was growing up in the palace, he thought of himself as a Mitzri and then later thought of himself as a Midian person. However, there's a second way to look at the story, which is no, the opposite. The entire time Yosef and Moshe were living amongst their non-Jewish environment, they always associated themselves as a Jewish people, as part of the Jewish people, no matter what. So what I want to do is take both of them and run through the stories in these two very different ways, and you'll see how the psukim really support both ways, and we're left really with the question of what exactly occurred. Let's start with Yosef. The first way to look at Yosef, or the first way I would like to look at him, is as Yosef the Mitzri. Yosef, who associates himself as a Mitzri person as opposed to a Jewish person. Let's start from the very beginning of the story. Yosef, as we know from the psukim that I gave, I'm going to run through the source. I'm not going to read everyone inside, but you can follow along with me. Yosef, in Breishit Lamed Zion, is on top of the world. He is his father's favorite child. As the psukim begin in Pasuk Bet, Ela toldos Yaakov Yosef. These are the generations of Yaakov. We assume at this point it's going to say Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, right? But no, Yosef. All we hear about is Yosef. And we go on to hear a lovely story about Yosef, about how he's in charge and how everything is about Yosef. And of course, as we see in Pasuk Gimel, V'Yisrael ahavet Yosef mikol banav ki ben zikunim hu lo, v'asalo ketonet pasim. He is the favorite child, and his father makes him a special coat. He believes he is the chosen, the one, the everything of his father. And based on this, his personality develops, where he starts having dreams. And in his dreams, he's the ruler of his brothers, and he's the ruler of his family, and he is in charge of everything. And that is what he believes is his future, and that is his dream in life. He is really on top of the world, on top of his game. But of course, one day, everything comes crashing down because of the brothers' reaction to Yosef's actions. Where we see in the psukim where they don't like this very much at all. Starting in Pasuk Dalet, Vayisnu Oto, they hate him. Pasuk Hey, Vayisifu Od Sno Oto, they hate him even more. Pasuk Chet, Vayisifu Od Sno Oto, they hate him even more than that. And then Pasuk Dalet, Vayiknu Bo Echav, they are jealous of him as well. They hate him, they're jealous of him, they can't handle the way he's acting. So what happens? They decide to sell him. Big discussion, did they actually sell him? Did they just talk about selling him? Somebody else sold him. But at the end of the day, Yosef believed they sold him, as we know from much, much later, when Perek Memhei, when he says, I'm Yosef, he says, I'm Yosef, Asher Macharta Moti Mitzrayma, you sold me to Mitzray. So at the end of the day, Yosef fully believes his brother sold him. So let's go back to the beginning of the story again. Yosef's on top of the world, on top of his game, and now he gets crashed down into the land of Mitzrayim, where he is now the slave to Potiphar, and then soon after ends himself in jail. What we see very clearly about Yosef, and this is our first read of Yosef, is that Yosef is not defeated at this point. He doesn't say, oh, I had a dream and that dream is gone, now that's the end of my life. What he says is, I'm going to replace my old dream with a new dream. When I'm in Potiphar's house, my dream is going to be the top of Potiphar's house. When I'm in jail, my dream is going to be to try to be have a leading position in jail. And then, of course, what happens? Crazy, crazy. He becomes second to King of Mitzrayim. And now he has a new dream. What's his new dream? Rule Mitzrayim. That's his new dream. He replaces his old dream. I don't care about my brothers anymore. That was That was small stuff, right? Rule my family. Now I'm in big time, right? I am going to rule Mitzrayim. That is my new dream. And he completely tries to erase his old life from his memory. Again, this is reading number one. Where do we see that? Number one, in Bereshit Mem Aleph, he changes his name. As we see, Vayikra Paro Shem Yosef Safna Paneach gets a new name. And as the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam point out, this is a Mitzri name. Mitzri name, new life. He then, of course, continues to marry and make himself a Mitzri family. As we see in the Psukim, Vayitain Lo Es Asnat Bat Potifara Kohen On, he goes and he marries this Egyptian woman, Asnat, who is not only an Egyptian woman, but she's an Egyptian woman with Yichus, right? She is the daughter of Kohen On. It says it twice in the Pasuk. Kohen On. She's got Yichus. He marries himself to the top, because that is what his new dream is all about. And then, of course, he has children. And what does he name his first son? He says, Vayikra Yosef, Pasuk Nun Aleph, Vayikra Yosef et Shem HaBachor Menashe, Ki Nashani Elokim et Kol Amali ve'et Kol Beit Avi. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for letting me forget my troubles, my past, and for letting me forget my father's house. It's in the past. I don't want to think about it anymore. It's not my life anymore. This is my new life. And I think this way of looking at the story, which we're going to continue along, I don't want to claim in any way Yosef has no connection to God. That is not what we're saying. Both Moshe and Yosef, even if they're associating themselves as a Mitzri, clearly are God-fearing the entire time. When he names both his children, it's all about God, thanking God for different things that God has done. He is always God-fearing. The question is, does he feel associated to the Jewish people? That's the question. This, of course, explains, if he doesn't, why he never contacts his family, which is always the very famous question, which is very difficult to answer, which is when he got to a place of power, and now he could very simply send a messenger home to his family and say, hi, I'm alive, come find me. He does it. Why? Because he disassociated, according to this view. He no longer feels connected at all. But now, of course, everything changes because he's living this new life. He's happy. He's a Mitzri family. He's the head of, second to King of Mitzrayim, all is good. But then one day, Perek Mem Bet, the brothers show up in his life again. And now he's faced again with this family that he is disassociated from. And if you look at the psukim there, again, we're going to see two ways to read these psukim, but within this view, look at the psukim, it says, Vayakirem Vayitznaker Alehem. He recognizes them, he sees them. Skip for a second to the next pasuk. Vayiskor Yosef et chalomot asher chalam lahem. He remembers his dreams, meaning he forgot them. They were in the past. That's his old dream. He wasn't thinking about it anymore. Now he sees his brothers and he's faced and he remembers the past, his old dream, his old life. Is he happy to see them? Is he, yay, this is my family, they're back? Doesn't seem that way. What does he do? Back to the Pasuk Zayin, Vayidaberi tam kashot. He speaks very harshly to them. He calls them spies, and in some ways, he does everything he possibly can to scare them away and never come back. He throws them into jail for a while, then he returns the money into their bag, so now they're going to be scared to come back, because if we come back, he's going to accuse us of stealing, right? And they tell him that in order to come back, you have to bring down Binyamin. Now, he knows very well his father, and he knows his father will never let them bring down Binyamin. So maybe in some way he was trying to secure the fact they're not showing up again. They're ruining my new life. They're reminding me of my past, and I don't want to be reminded of my past. Leave and never come back. And even the fact that he put Shimon in jail, you might say, oh, that was his way of getting them to come back. But if you look in the Psukim, never once, when Reuven and Yehuda are fighting Yaakov, that they need to come back down to Mitzrayim, never once do they say, we have to save Shimon. We have to go down to Mitzrayim because Shimon's there. Never do they say that. And even when Yaakov is talking and he says, I don't want you to take Binyamin, he says, look at Membet Pasuk Lamed Vav, Yaakov says, Yosef einenu v'Shimon einenu. He says, how can you take Binyamin? I've already lost Yosef and I've lost Shimon. And he compares Yosef to Shimon. Same language. They're both gone. And we know he thinks Yosef is dead. Sounding like they believed Shimon was dead. They didn't believe he's alive waiting for them to rescue him. They thought he was dead. And therefore, there was no reason for them to come back. And that was what Yosef was hoping for. Please don't come back. I don't want to see you again. I have a new life. But then everything, of course, changes within this view, which is the brothers do come back, and they come back with Binyamin. And of course, what Yosef does, the trick we all know, he puts the goblet in Binyamin's bag, hoping once again to scare his brothers away, keep Binyamin, but scare everyone away. But then something happens he did not expect, which is Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda comes and gives a powerful, beautiful speech. And in this speech, Yosef learns something that he did not know before. A number of things. Number one, he learns very clearly how Yehuda tells him their father will die if they don't come home with Binyamin. But even more important than that, he learns the fact that the brothers are sorry for what they did. How does he learn that? From the way they treat Binyamin. Binyamin is being treated the same way. He's being favored because he's the other son of Rachel. And instead of the brothers killing him along the route, and instead of the brothers saying, great, you want to keep him as a slave? Take him. We don't want him. They don't do that. They fight for him, and they, Yehuda even says, take us instead. And then Yosef sees, they don't feel vayisnu oto. They don't feel vayiknu bo. They don't feel the hatred and the jealousy they felt long ago. The brothers have grown up. The brothers have matured. And at that point, Yosef realizes, I can rejoin this family. I can reassociate. I can make my old dream back again into my dream. And from that point on, there was a tremendous change in Yosef, where instead of saying, you're my family, okay, you can come, he says, you're my family and you're going to be my number one priority. And he treats his family much better than he treats the Mitzrim. As we see very clearly in the text, he tells them to come down right away. He can't handle anymore. He wants them to come down. And by the way, just a step back in Bereishis Mem Hei, sorry, Pasuk Aleph through Gimel, which I gave you, we see this change in Yosef, meaning, as I was saying before, Yosef really was saying, I don't want you, I don't want you in my life. And then Yehuda startles him by what Yehuda says. And Yosef's reaction isn't, oh, I've been waiting to tell you, I was just waiting for the right moment. Yosef's reaction is, it's an emotional breakdown. He wasn't ready to do this, but he had to, because he felt, oh my gosh, the brothers have changed. And the Pesukim tell us, v'lo yachol Yosef litzapik, he couldn't handle it. He screams so loud because it's an emotional breakdown for him. This is not what he expected to happen. And now he takes them in, and not only helps us, but he helps us flourish. He gives us Goshen. As the Pesukim tell us, why does he give us Goshen? Pasuk Yud, Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Yud, because he wants v'yitza karov elai. I want you to be close to me. Now that you're coming back, we're family again. I want you right next to me. And number two, Pasuk Yud Aleph, it's b'meitav ha'aretz. I want to give you good land. I want to give you the best land I can possibly give you. I don't just want to give you, you know, something that's close. I want to give you what's good. I want to take care of you. You are now my number one priority. And what's very interesting is, as the Pesukim go on, he says, I will feed you. And the Pasuk tells us, v'yikalkel Yosef et aviv, he feeds them, he takes care of them. And as we know, in what's going on at the time is, the Mitzrim are coming to Yosef and saying, we need food, we're starving. And Yosef's saying to the Mitzrim, and he's saying, well, you have to buy the food back. I know it's your food, but you got to buy it from me. They have to sell their land, they have to sell him their animals. They give themselves up to him as slaves, and he gets taxes from them. And the Mitzrim are doing terribly. But at the same time, as the Pesukim tells, we get everything for free. We are no problem whatsoever. To the point, Perek Mem Zayin, Pasul Chaf Zayin, Vayashav Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Be'eretz Goshen, Vayachazuba, Vayefru, Vayerbu Ma'od. We're multiplying. We're doing great. So what we see here is Yosef went from disassociating, saying, I don't associate anymore. I have a new dream now. My new dream is to rule Mitzrayim. It totally flips around 180 degrees when the brothers come and say to him, we've changed. We're different. And now Yosef's number one priority, once again, is to take care of his family and take care of the Jewish people. And the very big happy ending at the end is a very interesting way the story ends, which is Perek Mem Chet and Perek Mem Tet. We have a very interesting question here, which is, why is it that all the brothers get blessed in Perek Mem Tet, including Yosef? But Yosef gets an extra bracha in Perek Mem Chet. He brings his sons. Everybody knows the famous, you know, flip hand story of Perek Mem Chet. Why does Yosef get an extra bracha? What is the point of Perek Mem Chet? And as we do our two different ways of looking at Yosef, we'll see two different reads to that question as well. But the way that fits much better here is to say as follows. Yosef had disassociated, right? And now he's reassociated. But Yosef was worried. What if you don't accept me back? Just because I reassociate doesn't mean Yaakov's going to welcome me with open arms and say, you're now once again part of the chosen people. And Yosef was worried. Yosef was concerned. So comes along Yaakov and says to him, in Perek Mem Chet, Pasuk Dalet, he repeats to him the bracha, right? Vayomer Eli, Hineni Mafricha Veharbitcha, Venataticha Lekalamim, Venatati Ta'aretz Hazot Lezarecha Acharecha Chuzat Olam. He repeats the bracha of being many and of getting the land of Eretz Yisrael that he gives to Avram, that God gave to Avram, God gave to Yitzchak, God gave to Yaakov. He repeats it here, and then here's the Chiddush he says, Pasuk Hei. Vatashne banecha hanoldim lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim ad bo'i alecha Mitzrayimah liheim Ephraim u'menashe keruvim v'shimon yuli. Your sons, they are going to be accepted as part of this nation, just like Reuven and Shimon. You might have been scared they're rejected. No, they are going to be part of this nation. And I think this picture is beautifully brought to us in this Psikta Rabasi, this medrash that I gave you. And I'll read it to you very quickly. I don't have a source sheet, so I don't know. Six. People are saying six. Somebody just said six. I don't know what that means. The Psikta Rabasi, there's only one Psikta Rabasi on there. Chamisha Dvarim Herher Yosef Bilibo. I'm on page 2, number 6, second source. The Psikta Rabasi says, Chamisha Dvarim Herher Yosef Bilibo. There were five things Yosef was worried about after he reunited with his family. Number one issue is, Banai Noldu B'Mitzrayim, Tomar Sheirachem. My children that were born in Mitzrayim, will God bless them? Will they be part of the Jewish people? Tomar Sheyaseh Otam Shvatim. Will God make them into Shvatim? Will we be accepted back? That's the question. And the Pasuk tells us, quote, Lo Yuchal Lirot, Yaakov couldn't see. What does that mean? The Midrash tells us, Nistalka Mimenu Ruach HaKodesh. The Ruach HaKodesh left Yaakov. Hitchil Yosef Mevakesh V'Omar Lo, Banai Sadikim Heim K'moti. Yosef starts pleading with him, My sons, they're Sadikim just like I am. Please, bless them. V'Heviyas Asnat Imam Lefnei Aviv V'Omar Lo, Abba, Asa Bishvil Sadeket Azot. He brings Asnat and he says, My wife, she's such a Sadeket. Bless them for her then. V'Omar Lo, and the Pasuk says, Kachem Na'alai V'Avarchem. Yaakov says, Bring them to me and maybe I'll bless them. What does that mean? Says the Medrash. Haviyem Atzlo Hitchil Megafifan U'min He started to hug them and kiss them, saying, Maybe the Ruach HaKodesh will come because I'll be so happy that I'm hugging and kissing them. The problem was, Ruach HaKodesh wasn't coming. Yaakov wasn't given permission to give them the bracha. Yosef starts to panic because the Lo Chazra Alav Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh still didn't come. Kevan Chevra Yosef Sarato Natzlam Viatzala Lachutz. Venafalo Pana, Vaharbitamo Pane, Vimakesh Rachamim. He goes outside and he falls on his face and he starts pleading to God, Please, please. He says, Come on, Hashem says to the Ruach HaKodesh, enough. You've tortured Yosef enough. Go in already and make sure that Yaakov can give them a bracha. So what we have here is a very interesting story, which is Yosef is the favorite. His dream in life is to rule his family. But then he gets sold and he ends up in Mitzrayim and he has a new dream. The new dream is to be the leader in Mitzrayim and he replaces his old dream till the day the brothers walk back in his life and they show him that he really deserves and needs to be back part of them. And of course he is able to return. And the happy ending at the end is he accepts them and they accept him and we are 12 Shvatim once more. One possible reading to the text. The second possible reading is one that is more so found in Chazal, which is Yosef HaTzadik from beginning to end. Yosef always associates, Yosef is always part, always sees himself as a Jew. We see that clearly in Rashi, where Rashi says on the Pasuk in Shemot, where it reviews for us that Yosef was in Mitzrayim, but Yosef Hayah in Mitzrayim, it says, What's it coming to teach us? We know that already. Of course he's in Mitzrayim. What are you telling us? We don't know that? For sure we do. It says, Who Yosef haroetzon aviv? Who Yosef shayab in Mitzrayim v'na'asem melech v'omei b'sikatzo? He's the same Yosef. Same Yosef that was down with his family in the beginning who was a shepherd to the Yosef at the very end. Same person the whole way through. And I think there's a lot of reasons in the Chumash itself to come with this view. Even though we don't necessarily see Yosef associating in the text, but there's a lot of reason to assume it from the Chumash, which is as follows. There are many times as we go through the Psukim, which I did not give you, where Yosef refers to God over and over and over again. When he is in jail with the Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Ofim, when he is with Paro, he always associates the fact that he can interpret dreams with God. It's not about him, it's about Hashem. And over as well in the Chumash, when Yosef is being successful, the Chumash tells us God is who's helping him. Which again shows, why would God be helping him unless he is, of course, doing something that God approves of what he's doing and therefore is helping him as well. On top of that, the other reason in the Chumash to assume that is Chazal makes a very big deal about the story that we find in Breishis Lamed Tet Pasuk Tet, which should hopefully be your next source, which is when he is alone in the house with Eshet Potiphar, and she wants to sin with Yosef, and he refuses her. And one of the reasons he gives why he cannot be with her is he says, how can I do this? How can I sin to God? And the Gemara in Sota there says, this was such a great act that Yosef did, that he was able to go against this temptation. And says the Gemara, that's why an added letter was added to his name. You know, God's, one of the letters of God's name got added to his name to show how amazing it was that he was able to do this. And on top of that, the Gemara in Sota tells us that not only that, how did he not sin? Because the Gemara says, "Ba'ota sha'a ba'ata dik yona shel aviv v'nirata lo b'chalon." He saw the vision of his father in the window. And I think what's going on here in this Chazal, and what's going on here in general, in the second view to look at Yosef, is it's not that he was a godly person the whole time. He was. But on top of that, he truly associated himself with the Jewish people the whole time. It's a very different picture. Yosef was sold down to Mitzrayim. And the entire time he's in Mitzrayim, he is thinking about his old life, and he is dreaming his old dream. And he's saying, one day, I know it, one day I'm going to go back and I'm going to lead them. I know it's going to happen. And everything that happens to him reminds him of the past and makes him think of his family and reminds him of what occurred with his family. And the first time, which is why I think the Gemara says this, which is he saw his father's face during this exact action, is because this story reminds him of something in the past having to do with his father. So if you look at the two psukim I gave you next, in the story with Eshet Potiphar, what does she do? In Parak Lamed Tet Pasuk Yudet, Vatit Kesheu Bibigdo, she grabs his coat, right, and he pulls out of it, and he's able, and he leaves the coat in his hand, in her hand. What does that remind him of? A very similar story. Breishis Lamed Zayin Chaf Gimel, the brothers are torturing him a little bit, about to throw him into the pit. They remove his coat. So every moment and every action that occurs to him as he's in Mitzrayim takes him back. Oh, I remember when someone else took off my coat. That was my brother's. Everything reminds him back. And we know very clearly, according to this view, that he, of course, thinks he's going to lead his brothers in the future. How do I know? Because if you recall in the story with Sarah Mashkim, Sarah Ofim, and Paro, he says to them, I know how to interpret dreams. Well, the only time in the past we ever saw him interpret a dream was when he interpreted his own dream. And when he interpreted his own dream, the interpretation was, I will rule over my brothers, right? So if he thinks that's wrong, and he's not going to rule his brothers in the future, then he wouldn't go around showing off, I know how to interpret dreams. He'd say, I tried once, I was obviously wrong, because I'm not ruling over my brothers, so I don't know how to interpret dreams at all. But the fact that he's going around saying, I interpret dreams, means he thinks, I was right the first time. When I interpreted my dream, I was right. That means in the future, I will rule over my brothers. I absolutely will. And he believes it. Be'emuna shalema. Well, then what do I do with the fact of all the other psukim that we saw already? And I give you one more pasuk before that, Bereishit Mem Tet Vav, when he's talking to Sar Hamashkim, he's telling Sar Hamashkim, why am I in jail? And one of the reasons he says at the end of the pasuk, ki samuati babor, because they put me in the pit, meaning he always is remembering the stories of the past. He's always being reminded of them and always talking about them. But what do I do with him having a new life? Well, look at the psukim again. Bereishit Mem Aleph, again, pasuk Mem Hey. He changes his name. Oh, look at the pasuk. Vayikra Paro Shem Yosef Safna Paneach. Paro changed his name. It's very possible to say Paro gave him an official title, but in his mind, he was always Yosef. That was his name. That's who he was. The Tanakh calls him Yosef for the rest of the time. He doesn't officially change to Safna Paneach. Paro gave him an official title when he was in Mitzrayim. Or you can go like the Rasag and the Ramban that I gave you, that that's a Jewish name. That is a Hebrew name that they gave him. This is not a Mitzri name. This is a Hebrew name. On top of that, what do I do with the fact that he married Asna? What do I do with the fact that he seems to marry and have a new life with a Mitzri woman? Well, look at this beautiful Yaakov Shimoni that I gave you. I'm not going to read the whole thing because of time. I'll give you the backdrop. Yaakov Shimoni plays for us a story of Dina, who we know from Bereishit Lamed Daled, who gets raped by Shechem, right? And when she's raped by Shechem, says the Medrash, she has a daughter named Asna. And the problem is, because she's the product of this rape, the other Jewish people want to, or the brothers, I guess they say, want to kill this daughter. And Yaakov believes that she is in danger. So he tries to protect her, but he doesn't feel that he can. And along comes Hashem to try to protect her. And what does he do? V'hakol safui lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God sees what's going on. He sees she's in trouble. V'yared Michal ha-malach v'natla v'horida le-mitzrayim le-beito shel potifara she-haita asnat ruya li-yosef v'haita ishto shel potifara akara v'gadla ota kebat v'lacha yosef li-isha. What happens? So beautiful. The Malach Michal comes, takes Asnat, says the Medrash, and brings her down to Mitzrayim. Potiphar, whose wife is barren, can't have children, adopts Asnat, and she's waiting there to be there for Yosef when Yosef wants to have a wife. And Chizkuni puts a little twist on this Medrash and says, "V'nistakhelbo Yosef shaita bat bito shel Yaakov v'nasa l'isha." It's not just a coincidence, says Chizkuni. Yosef married her because he knew she was the granddaughter of Yaakov. Meaning, in this picture of Yosef, he is struggling in this fact that he associates with the Jewish people, wants to be the leader of the Jewish people, but has found himself in this galus in Mitzrayim. And here he goes and he finds a woman who is the granddaughter of Yaakov. And he says, perfect, you're the perfect wife for me. I'm not marrying you for your connections. I'm not marrying you for your yichus. I'm marrying you because you take me back to my roots, which is what I'm associating with. And when he names his children again, you can look at it a different way. Why does he name his first son, "Thank you for letting me forget my father's house"? Because either you could say because he forgot, or you could say the fact that you say it means you didn't forget. If you forgot, you wouldn't mention it. But the fact that you're mentioning it is saying, thank you for letting me forget. But of course I didn't forget. I'm talking about it right now. And that's the first son. The second son is thank you for my success. The first son is thank you for letting me forget, meaning I didn't forget. I'm thinking about them. That is first on my mind all the time. So now we have to look at the story when they finally do come down to Mitzrayim. Now they come down to Mitzrayim, he's not nice to them. Well, that doesn't make any sense. According to this story, he should be, thank you, I'm so happy you finally came down, let's reunite. Which is, of course, not what occurs. Sorry, I need a drink. So what happens? Let's look at it again. In the Pesukim, Bereishis Membet, Pasuk Zayin, it says, and then again in Pasuk Chet, it says twice he recognizes them. First in Pasuk Zayin, Vayakirem v'yitznakher aleichem. And then in Pasuk Chet, Vayakir Yosef etachav. He recognizes them. What do we mean twice? What's the repetition? It's a very different picture. Let me draw the picture for you. What happened? Yosef is in Mitzrayim. He is now the leader of Mitzrayim. But his dream is not this. This has nothing to do with his dream. His dream is that day he's going to lead his brothers. So what does he do? Every person that comes down, he looks at them. He searches their face. Are you my brother? Could you possibly be the brother I haven't seen in so many years? No, you don't look like him. Next, you my brother? No, you're not my brother. Finally, they come down. Finally, they have come. This is what he's been waiting for the whole time. That's why the repetition of he recognizes them, because this is what he's been waiting for. Here they come, and now he recognizes them. And then right afterwards, it tells us, Vayizkor Yosef et chalomot asher chalam. It doesn't mean I forgot them and now I remember. Many times in the Chumash, it says Vayizkor. I'm talking about God. Do we think God forgot something? No. It means at this moment, I'm thinking about it because of what just occurred. And that's what it means here. I've always remembered my dreams, but now I see. Here they are. They're about to come true. So now it's a little weird. Why doesn't he say, Ani Yosef, here I am, let's reunite. So we have a lot of discussion of a lot of Mefarshim to try to understand what Yosef was thinking here. We have the very famous Ramban, which I'll read you one line that I think I bolded for you in the Ramban. The kol shechen she'achari she'shama chalom paro she'nitbarer lo ki yavo kulam shama v'yitkamu kol chalumotav. Meaning, Yosef, when he interpreted the dreams of Paro, now said to himself, if Paro's dream came true, my dream is coming true. And I know it's coming true, and I'm waiting for it. And the Ramban goes to draw this whole theory of, now that Yosef realized his dreams are going to come true, he wanted them to come true for the detail. Meaning, what was his dreams? The first one was the brothers will bow down to him, and the second one was his brothers and his father and mother will bow down to him. So he needed the brothers to come down to Mitzrayim by themselves before Yaakov came down. And that's why he had to do it the way he did, because he didn't want Yaakov to come down, because if they knew it was Yosef, Yaakov would come down right away. That's the Ramban's theory. We have other theories that Yosef really was trying to test them to see if they would do the same thing to Binyamin, it's all possible. I think a very different theory, but a third theory that one could claim, is that it's not that he was teaching them a lesson, but he was trying to make them understand the emotions and the feelings that he went through in Mitzrayim. And I gave you a chart here. If you look at the chart, everything he did to them correlates to something they did to him. The first thing he does to them in Bereishis Membet Pasuk Tet, he calls them Miraglim Atem. You are spies. Why would he say that? What does it have anything to do with spies? Well, we know from earlier, if you look at the other side of the chart, in Lama Zayin Bet, It tells us one of the things that Yosef did was Vayaveh Yosef et Diba Tamra al Avihem. He used to tattle on them. So you can understand the picture. He used to tattle on them. They used to get in trouble. And they'd come back to him and they'd scream at him and they'd say, "You were spying on us to our father. How dare you? You wanted to get us in trouble. You were spying." So now they come down and he says, "Oh, you called me a spy? You're spies," right? And then he puts them in jail for 3 days. Why does he put them in jail for 3 days? Well, they threw him into a pit. Again, he wants them to understand, in order for us to become associated again together, we have to be on the same, we got to be on the equal plane here. You got to get me. You got to understand what I went through. You have to understand what you put me through. Let me here try to explain it to you. And then, of course, why does he put the money back into their bags, which is the third square that I gave him, where he puts the money back in their bags, making them feel like robbers? He says, feel like robbers because that's what you did. Because in Perek Mem Pasuk Tevav, we read this pasuk already, he describes their action is ki ganov ganavti. You stole me. You stole me, and what did you do? You sold me, and you got money for me. I wasn't yours. You didn't own me. You didn't have a right to sell me. You stole me, and now I'm going to accuse you of being robbers as well. And of course, what he does at the very end, which is he makes them bring down Binyamin to Mitzrayim, and then he favors Binyamin by giving Binyamin more than he gives to them. That's, of course, because of their reaction and their thoughts and all the things that they went through because they saw that their father favored Yosef. So now he's saying, let me see, you have to have a long journey now where you have to be nice to Binyamin, and now I'm going to favor Binyamin and see how you take it. And at the end of the day here, I think Yosef is not necessarily testing them, but rather he's saying, I want you to feel what I felt. I want to be able to associate with you, but the only way I can do that is if you understand me, is if you know what I went through. And this is shows us even more so this theory, which is he didn't forget a detail of what occurred to him. Every last detail of what they did to him, he remembers, and he brings back now into this whole discussion. And the question here of why he left Shimon in jail, I think maybe we could say the opposite of what I said before. He dafka picked Shimon. Why? Because he knew they'd come back for Shimon. He couldn't pick Reuven because Reuven messed up with Bilhah, so he's scared his father would say, you know, we're not going back for him. He couldn't pick Yehuda because Yehuda's the leader, so he knows if anyone's going to get the job done to convince Yaakov to come down to his farm, he needed Yehuda there. He's not going to pick the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah because, as we know, Yaakov put them in front when they were going to meet up with Esau. They're replaceable in some way, right? And he's not going to pick Yisachar and Zevulun. We don't know much about them. But the four top brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they are strong. They are connected. They'll come back for each other. So he could have picked Levi, could have picked Shimon, but he picked Shimon. Why? Because he's number two. And he says, I know you'll come back for him. I know you'll come back to save Shimon. And maybe that's why Dafka, he picks Shimon. And what's interesting to understand this theory is if you look in the Psukim, which I gave you a lot of them here, in Bereishis Mem Gimel Zion, in Bereishis Mem Gimel Chaf Zion, in Bereishis Mem Hey Gimel, all these Psukim I gave you, Yosef over and over again asks about Yaakov. Is Yaakov alive? And then he sees them again. Right? The first time he meets them, he asks them about their father. The second time when they come back and they're in his house, is your father still alive? And then, of course, right after he says, I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? Yosef cared. Yosef was thinking about them from beginning to the end and always cared about his family. And that is why I think the beautiful ending here is when he says, Ani Yosef, in Perek Mem Hey, and I gave you the psukim, I apologize for timing-wise, we're not reading them through, but Yosef is so excited. Quickly, go home. Go get Yaakov, please. Come back right away. You'll come. You'll stay with me. It's like an excited boy talking. I mean, it's like so giddy because this is finally his dream. He can't wait, and they're all coming back to him. And of course, I think this famous chazal that we've all learned, I think, has a lot to do with what we're saying, which is when he sends back the agalot. Bereishis Rabba tells us what's the agalot, right? Amar lahem im yamin lachem abba hare mutavim lav atem omrim lo b'shasha parashi mimecha lo b'parshat egla arufa haite Yosef. He sends back the agalot to remind his father, if you don't believe it's Yosef, right? Well, we were learning Egla Rufa the last time that we were together, meaning every detail of what happened in his life before he went down to Mitzrayim, Yosef has never forgotten. Every last detail to the point of what sugya he was learning with his father before he left. I don't know what you're saying. Anyway, so now let's play out the story and the big happy ending of the second read of Yosef, which is as follows. What? Oh, I apologize. Which is as follows. Yosef was sold sold down to Mitzrayim. And this is our second view. He was heartbroken, and he always wanted to return back to his family. He had this dream. And now one day his brothers come back into his life. He knows now his dream is about to come true. He is going to return to them, and he is going to, maybe in his mind, even lead them once again. However, now we see a change in Yosef, where he learns his lesson a little bit. He now no longer feels, I need to lead them. I want to be part of them. And now when Yaakov comes back into his life, and Yaakov says, I'm going to give you this bracha. Now back to Perek Mem Chet. He says, I'm going to give you an extra bracha. The bracha isn't, which is very interesting to us, because if you see the story this way, you think Yosef was the favorite, Yosef should be the chosen, and everybody else kind of falls to the side. And that's not the ending of the story. Perek Mem Chet, we're all chosen, and the chosen child, really, to be the leader is Yehuda. It's not Yosef. The ending of the story is, yes, Yosef, you get the Bechora. That's true. You are above others. But at the end of the day, you're chosen back to be part of the Jewish people. And Yosef is happy with that. Yosef is not angry to just be one of the tribes. He is happy with that reality. And therefore, it's a very interesting ending of that story where both of them are the same, which is Yosef realizes he's one of them. And of course, he rejoins them happily. Two very, very different reads of Yosef. Did he disassociate, or was he associated the entire time? I think you could do very similarly and very quickly with Moshe. Moshe, I mean, I look at my chart here, which will bring you back to where I am in the sources. Moshe and Yosef are very similar. Both of them are forced to leave their families. Both have a siblings or sibling watch them go by as they go away. They both grow up in Paro's house. They both work for somebody, Yitro or Potiphar, for many years. They both marry a non-Jewish woman. They both marry somebody who specifically is the Kohen of somebody, Kohen Midyan or Kohen On. And interesting enough, which is not to be discussed right now, but the Medrash tells us both of them are born Mahul. They're both born of a special status with a Brit Milah. But let's look at Moshe very quickly. I'm going to do them intertwined together. Moshe, as we know, was brought up by his mother for 3 months, right? She was able to hide him for the first 3 months. Then, of course, Paro finds him, but she can't nurse him. He gets returned back to his mother until he is weaned. But once he is weaned, he is returned back to Bat Paro. And as Shemot Bet Pasuk Yud tells us, Vayehi La Leben, he is now her son. He now grows up in the house of Bat Paro. And he is, of course, given a name, a name, Moshe. And the question is, we can see this now from two perspectives. Is he associating himself as a Mitzri, or does he say the whole time, knowing he's Jewish, stay associated? Even with his name, we have a machloket Rishonim here, the Ibn Ezra, who thinks it's a Mitzri name. Moshe is really a translation of Monios, which is the Mitzri name. Or we have the Chizkuni, who says, no, it's a Jewish name. Either Bat Paro learned she converted and she knew Hebrew, or Yocheved gave him the name, and Bat Paro said, when she took him back, she said, what's his name? She said, it's Moshe. He said, great. And he kept the Jewish name. All possible. And then it gets very interesting with Moshe. In Shemot Bet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the first thing we know about Moshe, Vayehi b'yamim ha'hem, Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze el Echav. He goes out to his brothers. And then, of course, we know the story. He sees the Mitzri hitting the Jew, and he kills the Mitzri. The question here is, Vayetze el Echav, who's Echav? Who's his brothers? Is it the Mitzri, or is it Jews? Is he going out thinking he's going out to his brothers, the Jews? Or is he going out to his brothers, the Mitzri? And we see both found in the Rishonim. The Ramban? No, Jews. Of course he knew he was Jewish. Vayetze el Echav, says the Ramban. Ki higidu lo asher hu Yehudi, v'haya chafetz lerotam ba'avor shehem Echav. He knew that he was Jewish, and he wanted to go out there to see them because they're his brothers. The Ebenezer says, absolutely not. Vayetze el Echav ha-Mitzrim. Ki b'armon ha-melech haya. He grew up in the palace. He thought he was Egyptian. Unclear in the text who he thought he was related to. Maybe he didn't know, but I'm saying either he thought he was Egyptian or he thought he was Jewish. If that's true, well, why does he kill the Mitzri? So according to the Ramban, very easy, finish the Ramban. Hinei nistaka b'siv lo tam v'amolam, v'lo yachal l'spol, v'lachin harag ha-Mitzri amakal nachat. I associate. I'm a Jew. Well, if I'm a Jew, you're killing my family, I'm going to kill you. So to Sfarnu, he feels this achva, he feels this connection with the Jews. I'm Jewish, I feel a connection. Ebenezer says, no, he thought he was a Mitzri. So why did he kill the Mitzri? If he's a Mitzri, what's going on? Says Ebenezer, very beautiful. Halo Tiresha, harag ha-Mitzri ba'avur shahi hu asa hamas. The Mitzri was doing something wrong. Moshe was a moral person. He didn't care if that was his brother that was doing the immoral act. He was going to stop an immoral act from happening. And that was the beauty of Moshe. So yes, he didn't think he was Jewish. He thought he was a Mitzri. But he killed that Mitzri for doing something immoral. Two very different ways of looking at Moshe. Let's continue on to see these two stories developing. So either Moshe thinks he is a Jew and kills the Mitzri because you're killing my family. And then, of course, based on that action, he now has to run away because the power wants to kill him. Or he kills this Mitzri even though he associates with the Mitzrim because you're doing something immoral. And now, of course, because of that, he has to run away because in his mind, even the Jews tattled on him. And now he has reasons to not even like the Jews even more as he runs away. Now he goes down to Midian. And in Midian, he meets Zipporah. And Zipporah says about him, Shemot bet yotet. But Tomana, she's talking to her father. Ish Mitzri hatzilanu miyad haroim. This Ish Mitzri came and saved me. Two ways of looking at that. He went over to her and they had a conversation. And he said, I'm a Mitzri. And that's how he introduced himself. So she calls him an Ish Mitzri because that's who he was. Or he still associates as Jew. They didn't have a conversation. She looked at his clothes. She looked at what he looked like. And she assumed he was an Ish Mitzri. Both ways certainly can work. Then the psukim go on. Vayoel Moshe Lashevet Zayish. He lives in Midian. And the shorish of Vayoel in Torah, and I gave you a bunch of them, shows a permanent residence. It doesn't mean I'm staying here for short. I'm staying. I'm moving here. And I'm making a new life. So it's possible to claim, again, he disassociated. He's saying, I give up that old life. I'm not a Mitzri anymore. I'm not a Jew anymore. I'm nothing. I'm now living in Midian. And I marry this woman who is the daughter of a Kohen Midian, right? That's who I'm going to marry because I want Yichus in the land that I am in. And I name my first son Gershom. Why? Says the Pasuk, Ki Amar Ger Hayiti Beret Nachriya. I was a stranger in a strange land. I didn't belong in Mitzrayim. I didn't belong there. I now associate with where I am here in Midian. However, you could read it totally the opposite, which is, why did Moshe leave, as we said, and I gave you the pasuk again, Shemot bet hetvav, he left because Paro wanted to kill him. Vayishma Paro tadavar hazeh, vayivakesh laharog et Moshe, vayivrach Moshe mipnei Paro, vayishev eres Midian. He left because Paro wanted to kill him, he had to run away. And therefore, Moshe saying, I'm Jewish, I want to go back to the Jewish people. I can't, right? If I go back, he'll kill me. So I can't. Why does he marry Zipporah? Not because I'm turning into a Midian, but Midianite person. But I met this woman at the well. I'm stuck here for a very long time. I fell in love with her. Kind of a Yaakov and Rachel story. Fell in love at the well. And he marries this woman. I don't marry her because she's the daughter of a Kohen Midian. And if you look at Ibn Ezra and Rashi there, there's a machloket there of that as well. Is he the Kohen Midian? Or is he really a Kohen LaHashem? And Ibn Ezra and Rashi point out, no, he was attracted to Yitro's family because Yitro was a Kohen LaHashem, not a Kohen Midyan, Kohen LaHashem. And really, Moshe really feels associated the whole time. And again, the names of his children is also very vague. Ger Hayiti Beres Nachriya, does that mean I'm a stranger in a strange land back in Mitzrayim, like I said before? Or is it, I'm a stranger here in this land? I don't belong here in Midyan. Very unclear, very ambiguous, again, leading us to two very different ways of looking at the text. Now finally, God comes to Moshe and says, you have to go back to Mitzrayim. And Moshe's reaction, as we all know, is, I don't want to go. Now clearly, let me just point out once again, he is God-fearing the entire time, according to both views. Never once do we have Moshe saying, who are you? God? What? Who is that? We don't have that ever. Oh, no, I know who you are. I'm worried. Hein lo yaminu li. The Jewish people won't listen to me. Paro won't listen to me. But I don't question God. But we know the famous pasuk. Moshe says, don't send me, finally, lots of excuses, till please just send somebody else. Right? Shlach nabiyah, shlach, send somebody else. What's going on here? We got two views. One is, once again, I don't associate. I don't feel connected. Why should I do that? Why should I give up my new life to go to the Jewish people? Second one, I feel associated. I for sure feel connected. Paro's going to kill me. I can't go. Paro's going to kill me. How could I do this? And God's answer fits both, which is he says, you have a brother Aaron. Aaron's going to come. What's that answer? That answer is either Aaron will help you. You'll have support, so you don't have to be fearful of Paro. Someone's there that will be with you. Or his answer is, you don't feel associated? I'm sending you your brother. Then feel associated. Hey, this is your brother, your own flesh and blood. Start feeling that association, Moshe, because you are certainly part of the Jewish people. And very interesting, if you just skip till Pasuk, Perek Dal Pasuk Yitchet, when Moshe goes to Yitro and he says, V'eshuva lachai asher Mitzrayim, please let me go back to my brothers in Mitzrayim. Also ambiguous again. Is he saying to Yitro, let me go back to my brothers, the Jewish people, meaning that the whole time he was in Midian, Yitro knew the story. He knew he was Jewish, and he knew he ran away, and he associated the whole time. Or is it that he never even told his family in Midian? Never told them. He told them he was an Egyptian the entire time. And when he says, let me go back to my brothers, the reason why he's being so vague and not saying, let me save the Jewish people, is because he never told Yitro the story. He says, let me just go back and visit my family. And the Chizkuni picks up on this read, and he says, no. He was scared to tell Yitro the whole story. He was scared that if Yitro found out he was supposed to be killed by Paro, Yitro would give him back in, or Yitro would kill him. Two very different views of looking at Moshe. And we can continue to see this through the rest of the stories, which is then we have this very weird discussion, which could take us a whole shiur, but we're just going to look at for a second, which is Shemot Dalet Chaf. Moshe takes his family to Eretz Yisrael, or so it seems. Vayikach Moshe ishto v'et banav v'yakevem al hachamor, v'yeshav aretz haMitzrayim, they go to Mitzrayim together. But we know in Shemot Yuchet, in Parshas Yitro, Yitro brings Sipporah and his sons back to Mitzrayim, to meet Moshe, where they weren't there with him, because Achar Suchei sends her away at some point. Very unclear in the text when that occurred. When did Moshe take his family and send them home, send them back to Midian? Well, within our two reads, it actually fits very nicely. Either he associated with the Jewish people, he wanted to bring his family down to be part of the Jewish people, and he realized it was taking a lot longer than he thought. There was makos going on. It was very dangerous. Send his family home. Let them be safe. They'll rejoin me later. Or he was saying, I'm bringing my family down because I'm a Midianite. I don't associate with the Jewish people. And then once he started to meet the Jewish people and associate with them, he said, I can't have two lives. I can't have a double life. I can't have a Midian life and a Jewish life. And he sends them back. And it's very unclear if he ever would have called for them in the future had Yitro not brought them down. On top of that, we have another funny story in Shemot Dalet, which is his son doesn't have a Brit Milah. That's also a little bit interesting. So can you say Moshe didn't associate, didn't give his child a Brit Milah? There are Mefarshim that bring down that he didn't because he was part of Midian now. Midian, they don't give a Brit Milah until their bar mitzvah. He wasn't giving him a Brit Milah. Or you could say no, the child was born on the way. The child was born right before he left, and therefore he didn't have time to give a Brit Milah. All these stories have two very different ways of looking at them, to see Moshe who associates the whole time or Moshe who really disassociated, and of course over a process of time, once he comes down to Mitzrayim, starts to associate again. The question though you have to answer, and I will hurry here, is depending on the two theories, you ask the question of why is Moshe chosen as the leader at all? Meaning what makes him the perfect person? Well, if you say he associated the whole time, he's absolutely the perfect person. Someone who grew up in a palace, someone who then lived with the Kohen Midian, had all the power and influence in the world, and he chooses to go back to a slave nation to go save them? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Someone like that, who the whole time when he is in living the privileged life is saying to himself, I'm Jew, I'm a Jew, though they're slaves, I'm a Jew, that's someone who deserves it. But if not, why would he deserve it? Ibn Ezra gives three answers, and I apologize, because of time I won't read it inside. Answer number one that Ibn Ezra gives is because the problem that we have in Mitzrayim is that Jews now have a slave mentality. They all think like slaves. A slave can't think about freedom. A slave can't say, I think if we do X, Y, and Z, we'll be free. Can't do it. You need someone from the outside that has the ability to think that way, especially someone who grows up in a palace, certainly has the ability to get out of that type of situation and think in terms of freedom. Answer number one. Answer number two is what we saw Ibn Ezra saying before, which is Moshe may not have associated as a Jew, but he certainly had the morality aspect to him. His personality deemed him worthy. This is a person that anyone in danger, he saved. There were people that were being tortured by the shepherds, he saved. There's a person being killed by a Mitzri, whether or not he thought he was a Jew or not, he saved that person over and over again. And there's a beautiful medrash that I gave you here just for that point, which is, there's a lovely story of Moshe, and there is a sheep that runs away, and he chases after the sheep, and chases after the sheep, and chases after the sheep, and finally the sheep stops at a pool of water and drinks. And Moshe says to the sheep, I didn't know you were thirsty, I'm so sorry. And he picks up the sheep and he carries it home. And that's when God says, if you can be like that to a sheep, how much more so to my sheep, the Jewish people. Moshe was picked because of a personality. And the third answer of Ibn Ezra, also very beautiful, is, and you hear this problem certainly, we can relate, which is if somebody is a child growing up in a community and then wants to lead that community, you have people saying to them, I knew you as a baby, I knew you when, I knew you in diapers, I changed your diapers, right? They don't respect him at all. So Ibn Ezra says we needed someone from the outside that no one recognized so that people could come and respect. So what I'd like to see, show you here is that we really have two perspectives, very clear perspectives, of both Moshe and Yosef. Either the Yosef who totally disassociated and then once reunited with his family came back, or we have the Yosef who always was just dreaming of the day his family was going to come and he could be back with them. Or the Moshe who also disassociated because maybe he didn't even know he was Jewish, and then of course comes back to the Jewish people, or the Moshe that always associated. But I think there's a third perspective in 1 minute I will say, which is I think the answer is actually both. Which is the text is ambiguous on purpose because the real picture, the real truth is a combination of both. Yosef and Moshe associated with two different worlds. They had two different lives and they were confused. The picture is complex. Yosef didn't know, well, my family kicked me out. Should I still feel like one of them? Or should I throw them aside and say I have a new life? Moshe, when he says, Vayeta el Achav, the pasuk is telling us, he didn't know which one was his brother. I'm a Jew, but I'm also a Mitzri. I don't know which one I am. And when he says to Yitro, I'm going to go back to Echai, again, I don't know which one's my brother. I'm confused. And the picture of Yosef and Moshe is a very complex one, but a very interesting one for us in Galus, which is this whole thought of I associate with two worlds and they're confusing and it's hard for me to figure out where I belong. But the result of Moshe and Yosef is as follows. They used what they had and they used all the power and all the strengths of that outside world that they were in to save the Jewish people. Yosef saved us from starvation and Moshe saved us from Mitzrayim, took us out and got us to Matan Torah and almost to Eretz Yisrael. So the message of Yosef and Moshe is very clear. They were confused. It was hard for them, but they struggled through and they said, let me take the good of everything, and my number one goal at the very end is what is the best thing I can do for the Jewish people. And that is how they used everything that they had and all their experiences at the end to save us, the Jewish people. And that is the story of Pesach, beginning with Yosef and ending with Moshe. Thank you very much.